Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right, we're going to be continuing our series on manhood. If you remember going back last month, it was Mother's Day, and we called it Mother's May. We did all of the month of May on women. And then we went into June because it's Father's Day. We've been focusing on men through the month of June. And there was this wild president that came along not too long ago that he had this quote of, "Make America great again." Does anybody remember that phrase that came along? Yeah, a couple of you. whether you liked him or not. That phrase became this big idea, and I just recently saw this out here, this quote, "Make men manly again." And how many of y'all know that there's a message that I think is, let's see men lead well. And I'll tell you, men are best when they are healed, whole, full, alive, tough, and tender, with a beautiful mix and the anointing of God upon their life. Let me say that again. Men, we are better when we are healed, whole, full, alive, anointed with the call of God upon our lives. And so this is the challenge to men. Let's be fully men. There's two things and only two things that we're going after this morning. I want to talk to you about these two things, men. To be tough and to be tender. There's the beautiful mix of both, and either one to the extreme can be toxic. There's this move that really came through the 90s and early 2000s that masculine toxicity was men that are just too strong, and when masculine strength hits its zenith, it becomes abusive, and that's toxic. The other is also true is that whenever men are too tender and too soft, such to the extreme that men think that they're women, that also is toxic to a society. It really is. And so how do we hit the sweet spot if we are tough and we're tender, we're fully masculine, that's able to yield and bend and bow and serve someone else? So what is it that we believe about some of these topics here in Fairmount and Fairmount Friends? If I handed you this Bible and I said, show me what you believe about men and leadership, how they lead their families, how they lead their communities, show me here in the Bible what's going on in our society, how should we wrap our brains around this particular topic? Show me in the Bible. And your response would be, I don't know, but what Fox News is saying, what CNN says, and I would just tell you that that is not helpful, that is harmful, and we need to be anchored. Everything that we believe needs to start and stop, hard stop, right here based upon this book. There is nothing else. We are anchored. We are anchoring our soul based upon what this word says. It's not left up to public opinion. It's not swayed by the times. The Bible does not adjust to the times of man. Man always must adjust his mentality and his behavior to the Word of God. I do not want to plead for Quakers to give an amen, but that was really, really good. It ought to resonate in your spirit, especially during these days. This is not the time for Scripture to bow and bend to sinful days. It's not left up for reinterpretation. This thing is locked. It is the canonized Scripture that is not reopened and rewritten. I'm not going to speak with any jokes this morning, any sort of sarcasm. I'm going to speak as plainly and as clearly as possible. Clear lines must be established around this thing because it does matter and it is serious. So let's just be good old-fashioned Quakers. There is a Quaker saying that says, simple speech, simple dress, simple life. Doesn't that just sound wonderful? just get back to simplicity? Can we just make this thing simple? Because it's so confusing. And we got to do gymnastics with all of our ideologies and our behaviors and our genders and our sexualities. We got to do all of this trick stuff. It's like, no. Let's make this thing incredibly simple. Let's speak very plainly on these issues. Men, I want to speak to two things this morning. I want to speak specifically to two things. I want to speak to your heart, and I want to speak to your spine. These are the two issues that we're going after. The heart and the spine. And the two topics will be not only the tender and tough, it's going to be grace and truth. It's going to be grace and truth. And can we be anchored in both? Not catering only one or the other, or have an extreme amount of grace to where we have sloppy grace and everything is okay. Nor an extreme amount of truth to where it becomes harsh and hard and so intense that I just feel like such an outcast. Is a beautiful marriage of both. Pastor Andrew spoke on this just a couple weeks ago. He talked about a soft front, a strong back, and a wild heart. This is the idea of Brené Brown. She talks about what we have termed dad bod leadership. Okay, this is dad bod leadership, okay? So it's a soft front. It's a soft front. It's a strong back. How many of y'all dads out there? You might have a little soft front, but hey, trust me, bro. I got that strong back. And then a wild heart, man. We're going to go on an adventure. We're going to have some fun. We're going to make some memories. We're going to do this thing. And so a soft front is grace. Hey, we love you. We're for you. But there is a spine. So hey, come on back. This is how we do it. This is how we believe. This is how we must live, and it's not negotiable. Now, I want to meet you where you are, but we're not going to stay where you are. Where you are is dangerous. There is a cliff that you're about to walk. Hey, I love you. Get back here. And this spine does not bend. It is strong. And then we're going to go on a wild ride, and we're going to have a blast. And that's the beautiful, perfect blend of how men ought to lead. It's dad bod leadership. One of the things that we've really struggled with in America with all of our education is we cannot define what is a man. What is a man? A man. Let's go to the Bible then. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Isn't that beautiful? That has a whole mix right there. That's the dad bod verse right there. It is, let's do everything in love, but you better be courageous. You better lead with some strength. Act like a man. What also is interesting is the Apostle Paul does not go on for the next three chapters and try to define what a man is. They got it. You said act like a man, I already understand. Why? Because we've built a society around certain behaviors. We know what to do. We know how to think. We know what men do. Today, we've got to lay out definitions, and we've got to ask psychiatrists and bring in doctors. What is a man? Because we don't know. Can somebody please help me understand this? The Apostle Paul laid it out incredibly clear. It's a beautiful mix of that tough and that tender. Check this out. The Greek word used here is andrizeramo. And here's what it means. It's this only time that it's used here in the New Testament. But it's the imperative. It's the word command. It literally means be men. The Apostle Paul is laying out what it means for us to act like men. The Old Testament, which originally used this word when it was the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew, has been translated into other languages. One of the earliest translations of the Bible was the Septuagint, which moved it into the Greek language. Later on, it's used like 25 times in the Septuagint, this word. And here's what it always breaks down to mean. Joshua is one of the biggest ones. Joshua, who takes the leadership from Moses and says, not only did Moses get a dream and a promise about a land that's good and it's flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, Joshua says, I'm going to lead us in it. We're going to get it. It's not just an idea of making our land great again. Let's go do the work. We're going to have to fight like men. We're going to have to be courageous to win our family back, to stand strong in our marriages, to have a wild heart and get our kids going again, to have some pioneers in the church that are going to lead with an unapologetic but very soft presentation, but we're not bending in how we do it, to lead the church again. Men that'll say, I'm going to serve on boards. I'm going to get engaged. I'm going to have a vision for my community, not only to consume upon myself, but men that will sacrifice their lives and lay it down for the betterment of all of those around them. Perhaps planting some trees of fruit that you will never eat of, but you're laying it up for the next generation. We're going to leave this town better than when we found it. We're going to leave this church better than what we found it. We're going to continue to advance always, always, always. We're not receding and we're not stepping back. We're going to be courageous. We're going to be strong. We're going to act like men. And everything that we do, we're going to do it with a heart of love. It's the beautiful mix of what's happening here. So Joshua says, we're going to have to fight for this thing. And so Joshua uses this Greek word many, many times. And one of the best showcases is in Joshua chapter 1 when he takes the leadership from Moses. And he says, I've been mentored, I've been trained, I've been raised up by a wild man, Moses. I mean, he led us for decades through the wild. And now we're going to cross the river and we're going to take the land. And here's what Joshua says, be strong and of good courage. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. He's trying to get a message down here. Courage is not the absence of fear. You might be afraid. You might be like, man, I don't want to speak out at work. Man, I don't want to push back on this policy that's going on here. Man, I don't want to make a stand of what's going on in my community or in my county. Man, I don't know if I want to make a stand for righteousness in the days of perversion or an entire month of celebrating perversion. I don't know what is my move. And he's saying, come on, we might even have a little bit of fear that creeps in there, but be strong and courageous. Last night, I'm talking to my daughter. She's nearly in tears because she's about to go to a softball game. And there is a difference between a normal small town rec league softball and then going and playing in these travel softball tournaments. Okay? You went from JV to varsity real fast. And so she's going to play in one of these tournaments last night. They're playing against the big, bad, mighty Oak Hill. Dun, dun, dun. And I said, Ronnie, the Meyer family, let me ingrain this in you now, early and often. We do not back down from the mighty Oak Hill. Dun, dun, dun. Fly, Eagles, fly. Ronnie, especially. And she's like, but Dad, they just throw. Mainly it's pitching. They pitch so hard and so fast. And I was like, Ron, what are we afraid of? Let's break it down. Are we afraid of a strike? A ball that comes right down the middle? No, I mean, no. Because we like those. We can hit those. I just don't like that they come in fast. I like when they're soft because it gives me an advantage to hit. I just don't like the speed. And the faster they get, the wilder they are. And I'm afraid that I'm not going to get hit soft. I'm afraid that I'm going to get hit hard. And they throw so hard. And these girls, they're in fifth grade. I don't know how they do this. But they wind up, they come back, they slap their leg with their glove. And then, and they act like they just got hit by a Mack truck. And they're just like, and you're up there, and you've got this toothpick. And you're standing up there, and you're trying to hit this thing. And they're only about 35 feet away, 40 feet away. And all of a sudden, by the time they're all extended, they're about 25 feet away, and they're like handing the ball to the catcher. They're that close. And you're like, phew! Like, oh my gosh! So Ronnie, I said, hey, Ronnie, doesn't matter. It's okay. It's okay if we're a little bit afraid. Courage doesn't mean that you never have fear. Otherwise, we never need courage. Courage is, I'm sweating. I'm a little bit nervous here. But because I have courage, I still show up. and I'm going to get in that box, and I'm going to grab all the equipment that I have to get this job done. And I might not have much, but what I do have, I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I refuse to look back, and here we go. Because what Jesus says, if you put your hand to the plow and you start looking around, you ain't fit for the kingdom. He says, this ain't the kingdom of cowards. And men, I'll tell you, when men lead cowardly, it's the women and children who lose. Women, we're trying to raise up some good men here in this community for the betterment of your life. Your marriage gets better when good men roll up in there. Your kids' lives get good and they get better when strong leadership. They're strong, they're courageous, they act like men, and everything they do with love. That's a good home. That's a good community. That's a good church. That's what we're after. So Ronnie stands up there and she's in the box. And here comes this ball. The girl gets hit by a Mack truck and she throws the ball right there. Okay, here it comes. And guess what? Ronnie gets hit. I'm like, oh no! I just said, this isn't gonna happen. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just go for it. Hits her right in the ankle. She's jumping. She throws the bat and she's jumping around and doing all this sort of stuff. And she limps her way to first base. Guess what happened to me? Just pride filled my heart, man. I'm like, yeah, take one for the team. There's many ways to get a hit, either with your bat or with your ankle. And she did it. She sacrificed. But guess what? She gets to first base, and she's kind of walking it off, and she's like gathering her wits. And guys, just because we show up and we're ready to fight in this thing doesn't mean that marriage is just turned around immediately. Doesn't mean that your kids come running back to you. Oh, Dad, you're amazing. Those last 25 years of abuse, who forget? I just have amnesia where it's all good. We might have to work through some stuff. It might hurt for a bit, guys. Hey, you're advancing, you're getting to first base, but man, this is hurting. I'm sucking wind. I'm having to go and ask for forgiveness over and over and over. I'm serving on this board, and man, am I getting crazy amount of feedback and negativity, and people aren't excited about my vision. What the heck? I just got nailed with another one. Guys, taking ground isn't easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it. And I'll tell you, the biggest place where I've got to take ground is my own heart, my own humility, denying myself, laying down my life, taking up my cross, and becoming like him. Jesus says, if you won't do this, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Like, Jesus had some hard language around this stuff. He's like, you're not worthy to do it unless you're going to lay down your life. So guess what? The next pitch, Ronnie steals second. Then the girl hits our next batter. Yeah, it was wild. Then Ronnie steals third. There's a pass ball, and here she comes in. She's coming in, and the catcher gets the ball, turns around, throwing it to the pitcher. Just at the same time, Ronnie slides underneath home plate. That busted up, broken ankle slips underneath the glove. Safe! Ah! Yeah! And then she gets up and she's all fired up and she has this chant. And she goes, she's running back to the dugout. And she goes, I feel fine. I feel great. I just stepped on home plate. And all of the dugout, they're like, she feels fine. She feels great. She just stepped on home plate. They were all fired up. And then we got beat by a 10-run rule. We always have a little moment in those games with Oak Hill. We don't really win, but we have moments. Here's the deal, man. We get one shot. You get one shot at this life, man. And I see it all the time going to the nursing homes. I'm looking at these men. To see regret in a man's eyes. And there's no going back. I can't go back and hit replay and try to do this whole thing again. Here's our moment. And if you can hear my words and you got some oxygen in your lungs, you still have time left. There's still purpose to stay in the game, whether it's with your kids, your grandkids, your community, something. But Joshua is calling out and he's saying there's still a mountain left for you to go take. There's still something for you to engage in. And the call is for us to be wild, to act like men, to stand up and to lead. Check this out in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9. Fight as never before, Philistines. He's trying to rally the Philistines, Israelites, and the Philistines are going back and forth. The Ark of the Covenant of God is like up for grabs, and they're trying to steal it back and forth. He says, if you don't, we will become the Hebrew slaves just as they have been ours. Let me repeat history for you guys. We used to have them as slaves, and now they're wild and they're on the run. And if we don't show up, we're going to become their slaves. And so here he goes, what's our only option? Stand up, act like men, and fight. Man, I just want to ask you this. Who are you as a man? Followed by this question, is it okay to be a man that nobody takes serious? Is that okay? What is a man? Even more specifically, what is it to be male? There's anatomy, there's biology, there's even a certain chemical in your body that makes you a male. It's called testosterone. We need to define maleness so we can speak to you as a man. Let's define some things. Guys, even in our own testosterone, this is wild. Testosterone levels are at an unprecedented low amount in our society today because of the activities that we do, because we sit at computers all day. And because of the food that we eat, because everything we eat is processed. If there's 27 ingredients in your food, it's not food, all right? It was made in a lab. I'm not trying to be a dietitian, I'm just telling you. If you need to have a biology degree to read the ingredients on the back of the label, it's not food. And so our T levels are an unbelievable low amount. We have to have TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. We have to do these sort of things to try to get us back to being a man again. They say that the hand grip strength of an 87-year-old man in 2000 is the same hand grip strength of a 22-year-old young buck in 2023. Meaning that these studs coming out of college are as strong as our 87-year-olds used to be. We've just lost. We're just losing. And now in order for us to get a workout is we have to go pay somebody $30 a month to lift their weights. Because working out used to mean that you worked outside. You built the railroad. You paved the streets. You built skyscrapers. You did some of those things. I just recently read, they said, the thing that naturally boosts testosterone the most inside of a male's body. You want to know? Chopping wood. Chopping wood. But now, you know what? We don't need to chop wood because I can walk right over here to this wall and say, you know what? I want the heat up. I don't need to chop wood. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, it's so much warmer in here. You know what? I'm too warm. I want to turn it down. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, I feel so comfortable in here. I'll walk up to a door. I don't want to even open that door. So I'll push a button. Boop. The door opens for me. And then I'll walk through. Nothing strenuous on our life. No demands upon our lives. The hardest thing that I'm going to do all day, guys, is this. I'm going to type. The most dangerous thing that I'm going to come in contact with is a paper cut. Men, we're just losing. What are the things that naturally we've got to fight to get back into to become fully men? Even men that struggle in their own identity and sexuality, many times when they're T levels are tested, they're just low, and they're saying, I just don't feel like a man. Or where they identify with another gender, I just don't feel like a man. Because there's been a design in us, and our activities are hijacking us, our food is hijacking us, the group in which we surround ourselves, there's no men challenging us and calling us up to another level. We just kind of live in some of these effeminate places, and the call is for us to rise up and to act like men, to be strong and to lead in different places. So we've got to fight for it because it's not going to be handed to us. Doritos are handed to us and they're not helping us. Man, do I love Doritos. I could make a whole meal out of Doritos. Tim Jackson's nodding like a bobblehead back there, man. It's just true. It's just true. Some of it might seem like perversion. Others of it is just very natural. It's just like naturally we're just not like men anymore. And we've got to fight to get this manly thing back. Guys, the disciple Luke in his book, St. Luke in his book, he writes about him and the apostle Paul being together, going on missions, going on these missionary journeys. And they write about, man, we traveled here, and then we went to Macedonia, and then we were at Pathmenos, and we went to Greece, and we were traveling all over the place. And he goes, we've been shipwrecked, and we've been beaten within an inch of our lives. He goes, I know what it means to be abased and to abound. He goes, I know what it's like to dine with the king and then to be tossed into prison. I know what it's like to have hate just poured all over me, beaten within an inch of my life, drug out of town, and left for dead. But none of this stuff moves me. Because I've got a higher call and a mission and a vision about my life. I know who I am, and I know what I'm called to do. No matter how intense the picture is, no matter how intense the war is, I'm going to be courageous. I'm not moved by the external circumstances and situations. I'm healthy. I'm untriggered. I'm locked in. I'm unmoved. I am dialed in. I know who he is. I don't set my eyes upon myself. There's an idea today that says, look within yourself and just trust your heart. I would say that is so asinine. The Bible would say the exact opposite. Don't look within yourself. Set your eyes upon the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. He's going to sustain me. I fix my eyes. Don't trust your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceptive above all things. Who can even trust it? Why would you trust someone that's deceptive? Instead, man, we set our eyes upon him, and I put my full trust in him. Check out this verse in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Luke is writing about him, the Apostle Paul. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Jesse, can you come up here for a moment? I love that you got your arm around your girl. Dude, love that. That's pretty cool. Did you like that too? Okay, Jesse is everybody else's behavior, okay? Jesse is everybody's behavior. And this is my joy level, okay? Okay? Don't help it. Okay? Here, just lean. Just go, yeah, right there, okay? Okay, now look, my joy level is being propped up by everybody else's behavior. If everybody else does right things, if everybody else feeds me, if everybody else gives me what I want, if everybody believes in my opinions, if everybody's able to coddle me, then I'm going to be happy because I'm leaning into everybody else doing awesome things. If my boss responds well, if my wife will respond good, if my kids always obey, then I'll be happy. But if they don't, Jesse, go ahead and just walk away. I would drop this, but this is the Mary Driscoll. This is like the Holy of Holies, the Mary Driscoll podium here. But then all of a sudden, boom, then my joy levels crash. Why? Because I'm being held up by everybody else's behavior. And if everybody else acts awesome, then I'll be happy. But if my coworkers aren't happy, and if I get bad feedback and customer reviews, and my wife gives me back a really bad customer review, and my kids and all this stuff, then I just come crashing down. Because I have to be propped up by everybody else. And I would just say this, guys. If this is my joy level, I need to be propped up on something way much higher. I got to be leaned in on something way higher than Jesse. Jesse's a good dude. I like Jesse. Should I tell him? Yes, I should. He didn't even know. But I'm going to tell him because he trusts me. Jesse's wearing a bro tank underneath this. No, you're not. Oh, he took it off. Oh, his wife told me that he was. Yeah, baby. I hear you. He usually does. And if I'm leaning on everybody else, I just want to tell you how weak and a fragile move that is. Thanks, Jesse, for standing there. And here's what I want to say. Husbands, fathers, dads, grandfathers, community leaders, pastors, coaches, He says, none of this stuff moves me, and I will fulfill my call with joy because I'm anchored in something so much higher that I'm unmoved. Untriggered. You can say whatever, and I'm good. I'm not offended. Why? Because my joy ain't based upon a sinful, fallen person behaving correctly. You didn't nail it. And I'm good. I'm so good. And one of my statements at the very beginning is, men, we are at our best when we are healed. Not just waiting to get that wound kicked again, and that wound prodded. No, we're totally healed. And I'm not dragging up dead bones from old past. And, well, you, 6 years ago, as if that was helpful, bring back all these dead things and throw them back into our marriage as if that's a good move. No, men, we're not in fourth grade anymore. We're healed of that stuff. We're good. We're strong and we're courageous. We're unmoved. We act like men. And everything that we do it with a heart of love. Come on. This is who we are. This is who we are, men. A couple more things here. And then we'll do a couple more things. And then we'll a couple more, and then we'll get out of here. Check this out. College professor who's facing some persecution. Theologian Dr. Aaron Edwards of the UK was fired from Methodist Bible College for writing this tweet. Dr. Aaron Edwards, who teaches theology at Cliff College in England, he was dismissed from the school and being accused of bringing the college into disrepute on social media last month. So what was this disreputable tweet that he sent? And here it is. Homosexuality is invading the church, okay? Evangelicals no longer see the severity of this because they're busy apologizing for their apparent barbaric homophobia, whether that's true or not. This is a gospel issue, by the way. And if sin is no longer sin, then we no longer need a savior. He tweets this and he gets fired. Now, I don't know what Christian university or Christian church would say, hey, sin is sin. And we say, well, if you believe that, then you're gone. People, this ideology is not only invading the world, it's invading the church. And Christian people, we need to make a stand, not as cowards, but as confident and courageous followers of Christ. There's a strong back here, men. There's a strong spine in which we're going to speak to our children. Full of grace and love. We love you. And because I love you, I'm just not going to let you jump into this hole. I'm going to save you and pull you back from this. Now imagine we live in a world where the Bible, they said that this made students feel distressed. It triggered students to call sin, sin. And because we are so sensitive, it says, hey, you made some people distressed, so you need to go. I'll tell you what, when the society says that your sensitivity is a higher value than the Word of God, we've got a really messed up society. How you respond to the Word of God, and if you're sensitive to that, and now you're in emotional distress, that's the highest value. And the Word of God, it needs to quiet down and go away because your sensitivity matters. I just want to tell you people, we've got to do a better job. We've got to be able to preach the word with boldness, with confidence. Unapologetically, we're not coming off of it. And we want to do it full of love. It's grace and truth. It's the beautiful mix of both. It's the beautiful mix of both. What we can't do, church, is to be called by Christ but changed by culture. We're called by Christ. And the example is, we're all in, even if it costs us our lives. All of Christ for all of life. All of Christ for all of life. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Let's break this down. Rejoice. Men, rejoice. Blaine, can you get that up there? Rejoice. There ought to be some joy about our lives. Let's rejoice. Again, I'm going to say it. Guys, you ought to be the happiest person in the room. You ought to bring the most amount of joy into the room. We ought to lift heads, encourage hearts, be full of confidence. We need to stand in the batter's box, okay? And the heat is coming, and we're going to smile and wink. Because I know who is by my side. I'm not afraid of the pitcher. When I've got the presence of the Lord, I'm good. I'm anchored. He's with me. We can do this. So be gentle. Why? Because the Lord's at hand. He's here, man. And don't be anxious. Don't live in that turmoil and that anxiety and that stress and that worry. And when we lift the distress and we suppress the truth, we've got a messed up society. Happiness, gentleness, these sound like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? And then peace, come on, let's live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the King is here. He's at hand. He's watching how you're treating his daughter. So treat her with gentleness. He's watching how you're treating his children. So treat them gently and full of love and passion. And don't be stressing out, men. Now is not a time for fragile men to be leading. Now is a time for strong, courageous men to be leading your home, your marriage, and your family. I was coaching coaching Nora's team this year in softball. I'm standing in the outfield with a couple of the girls, and in between picking dandelions, I start talking to them. And I say, hey, is your mom and dad up there? She said, my mom is. I said, oh, yeah. I said, do you live with your dad? And she said, I think so. Whew. And I said, what's your dad like? She goes, I don't like him very much. I said, why is that? He said, well, he yells at my mom a lot. And when he whoops me really hard. I'm a mess standing out in center field. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Men, you're not awesome because you can hit a child hard. You're awesome because you can bring discipline in a loving way that's going to produce fruit in life. Men, we need to be tough but tender. This isn't just macho bravado up here. This is men, we need to be good. We need to be good. Courageous and act like a man. Not just don't act like a man, act like a man of God. Act like a man of God. And let's lead the way. Let's lead the way. Show you a video clip here of a man that is able to lead the way. Check this out. Going through cancer and chemo. Who's gonna take the lead by putting the light? He says, you're not in it alone, baby. Who's gonna show the children what is wrong and what is right? He's gonna take the lead. He put his life on the line. Come on. Man, that's us. We got to stand with them. We're in this thing together. It's not just bravado. It's service. It's laying our lives down for serving someone else. The women and children get better, when a good godly man enters the scene. Come on, man. Right? We can do this. Men, I'll tell you, one of the things that we need the most is we need to be in a community of men. Do not live on an island. Do not isolate yourself. Every week we are in this basement at 9 a.m. and we're having conversations, challenging men, speaking to men's issues, in it together, holding each other accountable, getting a vision for what a sacrificial man of God looks like. Be here. Men, you need to be here. I want to encourage you, man, be here for that. Thursdays, there's a group of men that meet at the branch. They have coffee together. They're diving into life together. They're just sharing conversations together. Be here. It's going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better father. It's going to give you a vision to be strong, courageous, to act like a man, and do everything that you do in love. Men, we need a group of friends. I know that Jesus did many miracles in life, but perhaps the most miraculous thing that he ever did was he had 12 friends while he was still in his 30s. Men don't have friends. Men live alone. Men live isolated. You head off to work, you come home, and you go to bed. You head off to work, you come home, and go to bed. You do that for 40 years. It's not a good move. If that's your strategy to become more like Jesus, that's a losing strategy. You've got to have friends. Jesus lived with a group of men. You need dudes in your life. You need some men around your life. That's non-negotiable. Jesus set the example. We need to be like him. Be here for that. Men, the final challenge. Be courageous, fight the good fight, act like men. Let's all stand this morning as we pray and close. Jesus, we thank you that you set the example to be a godly man. Jesus, we thank you that you laid your life down. And we too, we want to take the lead in laying our lives down. We lead with sacrifice and we lead with service. God, I pray that we would lead in a soft approach with a strong back and a wild heart. Make us courageous and let us lead well by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.